Please turn with me to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh Yireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Chazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Reumah, she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Ma'akah. May God add his blessings to the reading, or his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, this is a famous passage, one that we wonder at when we read it because of the greatness of Abraham's faith. I want to show you just briefly in this reading, this time that we have here, several of the markers of Abraham's faith. First of all, notice that God tempted Abraham, and that later on the angel of the Lord speaks from heaven and says, "Now I know." We must understand that this is the language of condescension, the language of God coming down to speak to Abraham, because really, who is it that knows? It's Abraham and it's us. God already knew. God knew what Abraham would do. The second thing I want to point out to you is that while God did command Abraham to slay his son, he never intended for Abraham to slay his son. That God often gives us commands, never intending that they would be fulfilled. And yet, we are bound to do what Abraham did here, and that is to give our strength to obedience. Remember, means belongs to us, and outcomes belong to God. And so at every turn then, let us work the means of obedience, the means of hearkening unto God's word, the means of spending our strength to obey, and leave the outcome with God. All right, so to set this up, we remember how much Abraham must have loved Isaac. How much? Can you really put a gauge on how much Abraham loved his son Isaac? He was a godly man, obviously. The Lord had already said in Genesis 18 to Abraham that he was godly to the point that he would command his children after him. That is, he would manifest that kind of love that Scripture truly calls love that a parent has for a child. He has raised Isaac in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He has been a father of instruction and correction and love. Not only that, but remember how attached he was to Ishmael, such that when God was telling him, out of your own bowels, Sarah will have a son, what did Abraham say? Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. If he has that much love for Ishmael, how much love would he have for Isaac, the child of promise, in whom all of the families of the world are going to be blessed? Then couple that with this third thing, that there would be a child given of the wife of his youth in his old age. And so, all of the years of praying, and all of the years of desiring, and all of the years of hoping against hope, finally realized in the son, Isaac. And so these three things at least, plus more that we could talk about, but won't take the time to do so, all congeal to say that Abraham loved Isaac very much. Very much. So then, is it not a great indicator of Abraham's faith that we don't hear a complaint, we don't hear a remonstrance, we don't hear hesitation, we don't hear anything except the bowing of the patriarch before the command of his God because he believes in God? Is it any wonder that the faith of Abraham is the faith that is set before us in the New Testament as the example of what saving faith is? Of course it's not. It's no wonder at all. This is indeed a model of faith. This is the instruction manual, the picture book, the way to understand what saving faith looks like. It is a faith that obeys, that walks by faith and not by sight, no matter what sight says. It's amazing. We must not downplay it. We must understand that it was the Son concerning which it had been said, in him, in Isaac, shall your seed be called, and in him shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That is what was suspended before Abraham. Now it might be said that in all of Abraham's weaknesses that we have seen up to this point, we see them as, if we give Abraham the judgment of charity, we would understand that they have all been done in service to the covenant. Why did he say to Sarah, please, say you're my sister so they won't kill me? It's not because I'm so fearful for my life. It's because God has said that through me the covenant will be realized. I shouldn't die. And many of the older commentators set forth that as a reason why Abraham did what he did. Why did Abraham cry out, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee? Why was the whole situation with Hagar considered in the first place? Because Abraham in his weak moments was still desiring to help God out. But here, there is nothing. There is no other means. There is no carnal way to provide for the covenant promise here. And so up to this point, while Abraham, it seems, has devised a carnal way to keep covenant blessings alive, here there is no carnal way. Abraham is shut up completely to the obedience of God, left only with his faith. And what does he do? He obeys. So, what does the obedience of Abraham look like? Number one, it is without complaint. It is without remonstrance. It is without hesitation. It is without remorse, at least any outward sign. Number two, it is a prepared obedience. Abraham looks to what he has to do and prepares for it. He gathers up the wood. He lights the fire and kindles it and takes it so that he can carry it with him. He has everything that he needs as they head up to the mountains of Moriah. Is it not true that very often our obedience is thwarted because we do not prepare? We do not get ready to obey? We rush into some circumstance or other unprepared, and so we cannot or do not obey because we had not steeled, readied ourselves for obedience? Notice also this great statement of Abraham's faith, which I think helps us to understand why the writer in Hebrews 11 tells us what he tells us. He says to his servants, y'all wait here. The lad and I, we will go yonder for 3 days to the place and we will worship, and literally, we will return. We will return. Now, it may be that Abraham has some other thing in mind, but I think what he has in mind is that the Lord will raise Isaac from the dead, which is exactly what the writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, and that Abraham received him back as in a figure from the dead. That he had, in his mind, already gone through with what God had commanded him to do, such that when Isaac was returned to him, it was as if he was alive from the dead. So, we see also Isaac's great obedience. This young man has been raised in a godly household. We don't know how old Isaac is here. We're not told. But Abraham is well over 100. Now, we don't know the condition of Abraham. But I think it would be a fair inference to say that if Isaac decided to run away, Abraham would not have been able to catch him. If Isaac had resisted, Abraham would not have been able to best him. But notice that the son has the faith of the father. And so he says to Abraham those fateful words, Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but we have no kid. No sacrifice. No animal. And what does Abraham say? Oh, Isaac, God Himself. God Himself will provide that sacrifice. And so, up they go. Isaac consents to being bound and laid upon the wood. And Abraham is not going to immolate him alive. He will slay him first. And it is at the last second that when the knife is raised and ready to be plunged, the patriarch, already having committed the act in his mind, the angel of the Lord cries out to Abraham. And just as at the beginning, when God called to Abraham and he said, "Here am I," so also here, in the midst of sacrificing his son, he says, "Here am I. Command what thou wilt to thy servant." Abraham is a man who believes in God. And so, the Lord spares Isaac that day, and instead of Isaac, there is a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. The symbolism is simply too obvious to ignore. The principle of substitution then being taught once again to Abraham, who already knows about sacrifice. He remembers. And so, most commentators are agreed that this is that which Jesus spoke of in John chapter 8, that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham rejoiced in that he saw in Isaac the Messiah to come, the true seed in whom all of the families of the earth would be blessed, who would indeed come and be put to death. He would be the lamb that God would provide. And that as Isaac was returned to Abraham in a figure, that Christ truly would be raised from the dead and would provide for that resurrection, not only for Abraham and Isaac, but for all those who have the faith of Abraham and Isaac. So, Genesis 22 is indeed one of those watershed passages. So the angel of the Lord says, "Now I know." Well, we knew that already. He knew that already. But now Abraham knows. Now the rest of God's people immemorial shall know that Abraham had that kind of faith, and that so should we. The chapter then closes with the next step in the covenant, and that is finding a wife for this young man that has laid himself on the altar. Finding a wife for him. And notice that it's two chapters hence. It's not the next chapter, but it is two chapters hence. And in finding that wife for him, the command of Abraham to Eleazar of Damascus, I believe, his servant, is what? Do not find a wife for my son out of the local Canaanites, but go back to my father's house, back to Nahor, back to the family of Heber, back to the family who has enjoyed since the days of the separation the special revelation of God. Back to that family and choose out a wife for my son Isaac there. And so this brief genealogy that is given at the end of chapter 22 is the next step in the covenant. That is the finding of a wife, a faithful wife for Isaac. Thus ends the reading of